Scott D. Harris returns as Doctor Who, only to find that someone's trying to make a monkey out of him, and everything stops for tea.
London, Great Britain, Earth. St. James's Park, if I'm not mistaken, old girl. Hold on, are those banana trees? In St. James's Park? What year did they put those in? And furthermore, where is everybody? Now, flatten me before I can get near the TARDIS. Only one thing for it, even though it's going to ruin my suit. Word, what's happened here? They're human, but they've been devolved into some kind of Neanderthal state. Oh, something's wrong here, very, very wrong, and why in the universe am I talking to myself?
Looks like they've cornered a civilian, sir.
Well spotted, McGrew. Dibble, Big Pew, Grub, roll out the nets. McGrew, Little Pew, and Cuthbert, stun lashes at the ready. Don't worry, sir. We'll be right with you. Just stay up high.
Little Pew, watch your left, old boy.
Take this, you filthy blighter.
Well, it seems we've caught the ringleaders of this jolly little band of brigands, eh, what? The rest should be more agreeable now. How's Little Pew?
Unconscious, sir. Looks like his arm's broken.
Better call for an ambulance. Get on that, Dibble. Now then, I say, are you up there in the branches? You can come down now. It's quite safe.
Yes, I see. Thank you. I'm very sorry about your colleague.
Oh, believe me, these Wallers have felt worse. Yes, I reckon he'll be back on his horse as soon as he's discharged. In the military, they didn't call us the Jemmy Dodgers for nothing, you know. Do you need a paw getting down, old bean?
That would be appreciated, yes.
Down you come. Good heavens, you're one of them.
Oh, my giddy aunt, you're all chimpanzees.
Good morning. How are you feeling?
Brilliant, actually. Though I must tell you, I'm really taken aback by all this. First chimpanzees on horseback, and now a gibbon in court dress. Next time I see Monsieur Bull, I'll have to tell him he was onto something.
I thank you for your approval, if that is indeed what it was. The doctor, was it?
Yes, that would be me.
My name is Clover Dotenone. I'm the counsel for your defence.
Did you say my defence?
That's right. They're holding a trial to determine whether or not you're too dangerous to be allowed to live.
Dangerous? But I've not done anything. What are the charges?
The Greater Londinium Zoo reported a mass breakout in their human enclosure, and it seems you're being charged with orchestrating the whole thing. Your hairlessness and intellect aside, the official position is that you're human.
Then you must listen to me, Miss Dotenone. I tell you, I am not human. The humans on this world don't even look like my humans.
They believe you're some kind of hitherto unseen foreign subspecies, perhaps from Lutetia, Marguerite, or the Hesperides.
They gave me a medical examination. I have 2 heartbeats. What human has 2 heartbeats?
Yes, they were all quite perplexed. I was allowed to review the notes from the physician who examined you. The zoo staff reported no such specimen existing in their records, so you're not only foreign, but unchecked. Not the best foundation on which to build our case. Now, if you want me to believe you're telling the truth...
I am telling you the truth.
Then what this boils down to is that you're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Story of my lives. Hang about. If I'm considered to be an animal here, why do I even get a defence?
That's my doing, actually. Well, mine and some friends of mine from Chambers. We appeal to our enlightened colleagues that since they have accepted your heightened intelligence, then you must be given the same treatment as any other intelligent being.
And are they enlightened?
They're eager to prove it, so no.
I'm grateful. It sounds to me like you had a fight on your hands. Pause.
Naturally. This is entirely unprecedented. The Royal Academy caught wind of it, and, well, you've rather sparked a debate between them and the clergy.
All going a bit ape, are they? Right, sorry. In this world, I imagine that joke falls a bit flat. I should tell you I've not been asked to write a statement.
No, but the control officers who brought you in have. Considering one of theirs was injured, well, I won't lie to you, Doctor. We're not really off to a good start. We could be in for a real duel in the courtroom, especially given the judge.
Who's presiding?
His name is Zacharias Anderson IV, and... Doctor, what's the matter?
It's nothing. Something about that name just seems... familiar.
He used to be commander of Her Majesty's Dragoon Light Horse. He achieved a great deal of recognition for his efforts. They referred to him as the Iron Duke, and he's as ruthless in the courtroom as he ever was on the battlefield.
Surely it'll be the prosecution you're contending with, not the judge.
The prosecution will be handled by Mr. Miles Abernathy QC, a great wet fop of an ape if there ever was one, but there are rather unsavoury rumours about him and the Duke.
Unsavoury how?
Freemasons, the pair of them.
Oh. Now that might be problematic.
I want you to understand, Doctor, that I will fight my hardest in the courtroom to free you, but we must be prepared for a battle with the odds stacked against us. If you're an ape, I'd recommend a guilty plea and throwing yourself on the mercy of the court, but you're not. I fear that ultimately your status as an animal will result not in imprisonment, but...
Extermination. I'm not comfortable with having to depend on someone else to save my life, but it appears I must put myself in your paws, my dear Miss Dotenone. Although this world is different to my own, and believe me, I will find out what has brought me here, a court of law is a court of law. Reason and evidence will out.
Guilty, guilty, guilty.
My lord, you can't do that.
Well, why the devil not, Mr. Aberforth?
Abernathy, my lord. And the reason you cannot declare this defendant guilty is that... aside from the fact that we have yet to review any of the evidence, you have not even taken the stand.
Damn, it's only some mongrel fluke anyway. Why even bother with this trial? Just euthanize it and wipe our hands clean. After all, I've tickets to see Devantin, Masculine at Piccadilly this evening, and I cannot be late.
Excuse me, I'm sitting right here. Mongrel fluke indeed.
Counsel for the defence will prevent further outbursts from the accused.
As you wish, my lord. Doctor, please remain calm.
All rise. Be seated.
Everything's done with bars, not steps. Even Monsieur Bull would think this a bit far-fetched.
The human before us today has no official designation given by Her Majesty's Zoological Society, but identifies himself as the Doctor of No Fixed Abode. Counsel for the defense has requested that the court maintain this until a conclusion to these proceedings has been reached and sentencing carried out.
A human doctor? What next? A penguin detective? Request granted, I suppose.
Thank you, my lord.
Doctor, you are charged that sometime before the 6th of November last, you entered this country through illegal means, and on the aforementioned date, between 9 and 10 o'clock at the Greater Londinium Zoo, you instigated a breakout from the human enclosure, endangering ape lives and resulting in massive damage to public and private property totaling £20,000, and the hospitalization of one Ernest Pugh of Her Majesty's Animal Control Brigade. How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Very well. Mr. Abernathy, your opening statement, if you please.
Abernathy, my lord. It is the aim of the prosecuting counsel to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this creature is indeed the one responsible for the chaos which our good citizens were forced to endure on the 6th of November last. That his very presence among us, which has long gone unchecked, represents a terrible risk to the stability of our capital and all who reside within her, with undeniable evidence in the form of witness testimony from members of the public, zoo staff, and the colleagues of Mr. Ernest Pugh, all of whom saw this human leading his fellow beasts to rise up with the intent to harm.
I object.
Overruled. One more outburst like that, and the accused will be held in contempt of court.
May I continue?
You may.
Thank you, my lord. The prosecution would like to take this opportunity to call upon its first witness.
I saw little Pugh. That's what we call Ernest, on account of him being a bonobo. Fall from his horse and break his arm.
You saw him break his arm, Captain Blimp?
I did not, sir. My second, Lieutenant McGrew, he confirmed it, and then I sent Sergeant Dibble to call for an ambulance.
So your first thought was to take care of your wounded ape?
Indeed. A good soldier always puts the safety of his lads above all else. next to giving Johnny Gibbon a well-deserved battering, eh, what?
Miss Stotino, do you have a problem with this witness's testimony?
As a matter of fact, I do, my lord, I do. I realize that relations between our country and Cathay have been tense in recent years, but...
Is this rambling relevant at all?
I ask that the witness refrain from the use of such uncouth language. Court of law is a place for rationality and reason. Generalized racial prejudices are evidence of neither.
Ah, very well. The witness will retract his previous statement.
As your honor pleases, my apologies, ma'am.
Now, returning to your account of the events in question, Captain. What happened after you dispatched Sergeant Dibble for medical aid?
After that, I made certain all of the escaped animals were subdued, which I was already quite certain of, but still, belt and braces, best together, what? So then I call up to what I think is a poor ape.
What a joke. None of the witnesses so far have even mentioned me. Their testimonies have all been lukewarm, and there's only circumstantial evidence. This Captain Horatio Blimp's a fool as well. A newspaper caricature. All things considered, I should feel safe. But all I feel is a rising sense of dread.
And what did you do after the defendant fell into your arms, Captain?
Put as much space between him and me as I could.
I can tell they're trying to get a rise out of Clover on purpose, too. And why does everyone keep staring at the clock on the wall? What exactly are they waiting for with such anxiety?
Did you say something, Doctor?
No, nothing, Your Honor. I've done it again. It's like I can't keep anything to myself today.
Mr. Abercrombie.
My lord?
Up here, please.
Yes, Milad.
Well, it's acceptable. Yes. Good.
Very well. Captain Blimp, I believe you have in your possession a certain letter.
Thank you. Yes, indeed, sir.
A letter which was given to you by one Dr. John Smith several weeks prior to the incident on the 6th of November last, containing several lengthy excerpts from his scientific journals. He was attempting to warn Her Majesty's Animal Control Brigade of his fears regarding the increasingly erratic behavior of a unique human he had taken under his personal tutelage. None other than the animal standing in the dock right now.
What?
I just spoke with some colleagues of mine about it. I've been waiting for the prosecution to play dirty, and it seems I was right to do so. Dr. John Smith, a celebrated anthropologist, conveniently died between today and the alleged date the letter was received. He did have a propensity for taking his discoveries into his home, and since he was a recluse, no one can confirm or deny what he may have been doing with them, or what ones he had living with him at the time of his passing. Most of his personal files are still locked away in his vaults, and no one knows the combinations. Doctor, what's the matter? You're miles away.
I don't disagree that the so-called letter was a load of old rubbish. The style and pacing seem to have been lifted directly from the works of Hedberg and Pinchbeck. Still, there were certain passages of it that held my attention. Sections of it were almost like intentional parodies of real events. Names, places, yes, even what you just said. Everything I've seen since I came to this world seems to be a distortion of mine in one way or another, like a PG Tips advert from hell.
I see.
You're taking the fact I just compared everything you've ever known to a caricature rather well, I must say.
A lawyer is thick-skinned, Doctor.
Yes, quite. So, this statement. I assume the next move should be to make it irrelevant somehow?
The prosecution is depending on it to sway the jury, and rightly so. We must shake the foundations of their faith in it. Play our cards right, and they'll have nothing.
Ah, one fell swoop, I like that. Efficient. You know, a non-fatal way, of course. I actually did notice something in that courtroom we could use. Listen, and tell me what you think of this.
Captain Blimp, this warning was sent to you by the late Dr. John Smith. How was it delivered?
I believe it arrived in the post.
It was not deposited at your building by Dr. Smith?
I shouldn't think so, ma'am.
Do you swear it?
I swear.
And how did you confirm that this was indeed from him?
Well, the letter was typed, but the signature on the bottom was his paw writing, ma'am.
Captain, this letter is signed with a cursive S and nothing more.
That was his usual practice, ma'am.
But surely, Captain, anyone can write the letter S. I mean, it's hardly complex as signatures go.
Miss Dotinone, are you implying that this letter has been forged? I hope you have some proof to support your allegation.
I think, my lord, it would be prudent to point out that there is no proof that this is really from the paw of the late Dr. Smith. But if you would prefer, I should like to have the court examine its contents in greater detail. Can my learned colleague for the prosecution think of any viable foundation for an objection?
I suppose not.
Very well. Are we all sitting comfortably? Good, then I'll begin with this passage right here. Our journey into the deepest jungles of Al-Kabulan has finally yielded results. In the ruins of an ancient temple, we discovered a specimen unlike anything we had seen before. He is clearly a human cousin, but many of his physical traits differ, including the colour and formation of his fur and his ability to walk upright. I believe that this remarkable new discovery might breathe a new life into the dying realm of anthropology. These are definitely his words?
Yes, ma'am.
Human cousin? Rather sentimental for a celebrated anthropologist, don't you think? Not to mention unscientific. After all, the common salmon and the shark are both fish, yet they're hardly cousins.
Miss Dotinone, is this cross-examination meant to be taken seriously?
Only if this piece of paper is meant to be taken seriously. It has been several days since I have formally taken my strange new friend into my home. He has proven to be not only curious but adventurous, having mapped out every inch of the upper floors. He's taken a particular liking to my workshop, where I've witnessed him attempting to mimic some of the assorted devices kept within using whatever discarded bric-a-brac he finds. His capacity for logic and problem-solving is astounding. So, we are expected to believe that a leading authority in this field brought back this incredible specimen and didn't tell anyone about it.
He may have told someone, Mom.
But how could he? Nobody knew about my client's existence until you and your apes found him up that tree in St. James Park.
I object to this. He could have told someone and sworn them to secrecy.
There is no evidence he did. Not even hearing the entire body of this letter, unless you plan to follow up your previous trip by conjuring a convenient housemaid or childhood friend. Now may I continue? Thank you. I have successfully taught him to speak our language, and he is able to calculate complex sums and recite lengthy passages from memory. Darwin, Newton, Lair, even Boyle. I have yet to take him to my local library, although I plan to in the near future. The letter does not go on for much longer and contains no mention of consummating this trip to the library. Given that, would you all agree we can rightly assume that the defendant never learnt how to read?
Yes!
The jury seem to agree with that assertion, Miss D'Otenone. Where is this going?
I will tell you, my lord. In the light of this letter and the contradictions therein, it is the position of the defence that Dr. John Smith and the doctor never met, and that this message is nothing but a flawed hodgepodge of words by Bram Stoker and Edgar Rice Burroughs, Darwin, Newton, Lyell, and Boyle indeed.
Your evidence, Miss D'Otenone?
As my lord pleases. I believe we have an avid reader with us in the jury today. Come now, you're not in any trouble. May I borrow the book you're reading during the recess if you still have it with you? Thank you. Ah, Lewis Carroll's Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. I believe it is quite blatant from these citations that Dr. Smith is unlikely to have this in his collection. Here you are, Doctor.
Thank you.
Close your eyes and open the book to a random page. Now open your eyes and read.
The White Rabbit put on his spectacles. "Where shall I begin, please, your Majesty?" he asked. "Begin at the beginning," the King said gravely. "And go on till you come to the end, then stop." These were the verses the White Rabbit read.
"This is preposterous. What does this possibly prove?"
"They told me you had been to her and mentioned me to him. She gave me a good character, but said I could not swim. He sent them word I had not gone, we know it to be true. If she should push the matter on, what would become of you?"
"Oh, Mr. Abernethy."
Now hang on.
"I gave her one, they gave him two. You gave us three or more. They all return from him to you, though they were mine before. If I or she should chance to be involved in this affair, he trusts to you to set them free, exactly as we were."
"Enough."
"My notion was that you had been, before she had this fit, an obstacle that came between him and ourselves and it."
"Enough."
"Don't let him know she liked them best, for this must ever be a secret kept from all the rest, between yourself and me."
"I said enough."
Did you just throw your wig at me?
"I will have order."
"I move that this last point be stricken from the record. A secret kept from all the rest between yourself and me. They're using that verse to mock the entire court. It's nothing but a premeditated plot by the defense to undermine credible evidence."
"Credible evidence? Mr. Abernathy, we have just made it plain to everyone in this room that there isn't one atom of meaning in this document. I move that Dr. Smith was never even involved in this case. The creation of this false evidence is not only disreputable, but disrespectful to his memory. Does the prosecution have anything else to add?"
No.
"In which case, the defense rests.
Milord, please,
Be silent, Mr. Abernethy. I've heard quite enough. This case has been one of the most embarrassing in my long career. I'm only thankful it was also one of the shortest. All that remains is for the jury to bestow their decision. But first, Doctor, would you permit me to ask you a personal question?
You may ask away, my lord, but I can't guarantee that I'll answer.
So you say. What are your feelings in regards to these proceedings?
I personally feel that this affair has been naught but a string of nonsense from start to finish, commenced with the sole purpose of wasting the time of everyone who witnessed it.
Quite all right, Doctor. After all, your thoughts cannot be concealed here.
Furthermore, the ape standing in the witness box over there barely qualifies as a cartoon character in a newspaper. He's the sort of man or ape who believes cavalry officers should wear their spurs inside tanks and that casual jingoism is charmingly eccentric.
I say, I shall not stand for this affront to my honor.
And I shall not stand for this affront to mine. I've seen games of consequence that were better researched than that ridiculous letter, and not one of you lot out there doubted it until the Council for the Defense and I proved it. Not one of you stopped to think, oh my, they've been making a bit of a dog's dinner out of this. But look, they've just conjured a conveniently damning piece of evidence out of nowhere. I wonder if they do children's parties.
Doctor, they're getting upset.
I know, but I can't stop myself.
This is intolerable.
Oh, I'm getting to you presently, fatso. You wear the silk of a revered member of the Queen's Council, yet all I see before me is a gibbering hybrid of Dr. Zaius and Frank Spencer. And now that I've systematically insulted each and every ape in attendance here today, for reasons of which even I am not entirely certain, will you all stop staring at that damned clock in the corner? What exactly are you all waiting for?
That's it? You've been waiting for tea this whole time?
That's it. This is officially too stupid to be real. I want to leave now.
Doctor, come with me.
Wait, the judge and the prosecutor, they're...
Both gone, yes. The Iron Duke took advantage of his sudden onset of verbal diarrhea to stir up the gallery and escape with Mr. Abernathy. Now you have the chance to follow suit.
Yes. Yes, yes, I think it's becoming clear to me now. I said this was too stupid to be real, and it is. This is all in my imagination, isn't it? I couldn't keep my thoughts to myself because this whole place is myself. I wish I'd realized that earlier.
You had to match your willpower against theirs, Doctor, and you pulled it off wonderfully. Your mind's defenses will expunge this entire incident the moment you return to the waking world. Now stop dilly-dallying and go.
Are you the part of me that likes to remind me how clever I am?
Maybe, maybe not.
Thank you, Clover. I hope I get the chance to imagine you again one of these days.
2 days to come.
No one's about. Everything really does stop for tea. Remarkably consistent of me. Ah, there you are, old girl. Wait, it's just an ordinary police box inside. No. This is just one last trap left by the invaders, isn't it? Well, I've realized what's going on now, so it won't work.
You're in the courtroom. in the middle of an alimony plea. Has to stop.
Oh, my head. Oh. Oh, knickers. There's tea all over the floor.
Canine, where did I put the mop?
I am disappointed in your conduct, Commander.
My liege, please, wait. You saw what happened.
You asked me to trust you in this operation, and I did. I have been generous enough. You disgrace your rank. Therefore, it will be taken from you. You present quite the challenge, Doctor. And while I'm certainly in no position to continue the onslaught on your mind at the moment, I am nothing, if not patient. Very patient.
This has been a CP Studios production. Thank you for listening.